1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to be going through verse 17 through 24. And I'm just going to go ahead and read down to that. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual morality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except for the consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. Each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot, exercise self-control and let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. But if the believer departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so our ordained in the churches, was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Remember, we moved into a new section in 1 Corinthians. The first six chapters was all about concern Paul had for these believers. And now he's going to begin answering the questions. And he starts, really, if you think about it, with relationships. And the one thing that the Lord, there's several things the Lord's impressed upon my heart in this chapter, but one thing this morning and just this week, if you kind of look at the backdrop at this chapter, you really can't help but get away from what Paul is telling these guys to trust the Lord where you're at. Trust the Lord to work these things out. Rest in the Lord. Remember the first study, it was really about rendering affection due, and we're to love on our spouses and not hold back. Satan's great plan for marriage is to destroy it. And when it comes to sex, he encourages sex outside of marriage and discourage sex inside of marriage. And if he accomplishes either one, it's a victory for him. That is Satan's great plan when you think about it. Destroying marriages. And he's doing a fairly good job of it within this country. The second study is, if we're married today, it's a gift from God. If we're single today, it's a gift to God. Paul understands the benefits of being married, and he understands the benefits of being single. And the thing the Lord's impressed upon our heart during that study is, if you're married, I'm used to talking to married folks on this side. Why don't you guys switch? Okay, there's one, okay, right here up front. Okay, stop messing with me. Get over there. No, I'm kidding. If you're married, okay, what an incredible gift. And the thing the Lord impressed upon our hearts was, look at the bounty. Look at the blessing. Okay, if you're single, it's a gift. And remember that word gift was used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit. It is a gift, and the Lord gifts you for that season in life. Don't always think the grass is greener on the other side. Don't spend all your time when you're single. Oh, if I was married. Okay, stop going to those romantic movies that Hollywood puts out. That's dumb. Okay? It doesn't work that way. Okay, it doesn't work that way. And if we're married today, let's hang on to what an incredible gift the Lord has given us. Remember, it's a gift and it takes the Lord to make it work. And does it not take the Lord to make all things work, really? And then finally, last week was, well, we looked at biblical divorce, or divorce that the Lord acknowledges. And, you know, this is nothing new. You guys all probably already know this. Number one was, well, for believers, you know, there's an option. There's sexual immorality. I don't want to use the word option. For believers, the Lord will acknowledge sexual immorality. Adultery, He acknowledges it. And Jesus said, and you can read this later. I'm not going to read it again. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 10, the Pharisees asked, well, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And then Jesus said, well, He laid it out. You can read that later if you'd like. Then verse 12 through 16, Paul has an answer for the believer married to the unbeliever. Because, see, here's what was happening within this church. Believers were thinking, well, we would be more holy maybe if we separated. And Paul says, no, you got to stick together. You got to stay in this thing. Well, then see, unbeliever, if an unbeliever was married to a believer, then they might be thinking, well, how could I ever glorify God in this condition? And then Paul has these incredible words for someone who may find themselves in that situation. Maybe they got saved, their spouse didn't get saved. I mean, we don't know what brought these folks together. He says this, an unbeliever, but to the rest. See, guys, if Christian couples in Corinth thought that they were more spiritual if they divorced, then what would a person who is a believer think if you were married to an unbeliever? God can't be glorified. I'm married to an unbeliever. Paul says, hang in there, and he used the word sanctified, and it wasn't used as saved. It was more along the lines of pointing to the fact, did you ever stop to think that God is desperately trying to win this person who does not know the Lord by being married to you and seeing the Lord in you day in and day out? What an incredible gift that God would do that. And Paul's saying, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. And not only that, think about this. What are your kids seeing? I'm amazed at what Jonathan soaks up. I'm amazed at 2 years old. I say, I'll see you in a bit. Okay? I'll see you in a bit. I'm out the door. I'll see you in a bit. Okay, that's East Texas. I'll see you later. I'll be back in a moment. You know, I'll see you in a bit. Now, Jonathan, when he goes out in the garage and messes with what his dad is doing, he gets his backpack and he has these little tools, and he says to his mom, I'm going to go work. I'll see you in a bit. They soak up. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at stuff. What an incredible example Paul's saying to your kids. I mean, they're seeing a believer honor the Lord in their circumstance, and they're blown away by it. Okay? But if an unbeliever chooses to leave or step out of that situation, Paul also wants you to know that you're not obligated in that situation. The Lord acknowledges that. But understand, Paul never encourages divorce. The Lord Jesus never encouraged divorce either. All right? The Lord says, hang in there. I'm doing an awesome work in your family. And that's that. And at the end of the day, we finished in verse 16 with, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? And at the end of the day, it's hoping in the Lord, that the Lord will work it out. Listen to this hymn from Charles Wesley, some words he penned after he got saved. He left his Father's throne above, so free, infinite his grace. He emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. No condemnation now I dread. I am the Lord's and He is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, clothed in righteousness divine. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? God's great care for His people. He's not going to leave you hanging in your circumstance. Okay? He is very in tune with what's going on. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Some of my favorite verses are found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His one and only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us. Incredible words. Now, let's look at this. Live as you are called. And let's look at verse 17 first. But before we do, I want you to just hang on to some of these words. Don't let the past hold you back from serving the Lord now. We need to go for it now with the Lord. Stop looking in the rearview mirror of past failures. Serve the Lord now with everything we have now. Live as you're called. Serve the Lord now. So many times we spend way too much time looking in the rearview mirror. We're like in this time warp instead of focusing on the fact of what God has called us to do right now. I love what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Listen to his heart in chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I've already obtained, I've already perfected, but I'm pressing on that I may hold for what that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Those are such familiar words. You see them on bookmarkers. You see them on little wrist bracelet things. Matter of fact, you've heard me say it and share it several times, but I want you to understand it is a reality. Paul's not just talking. Think of Paul's state in life. The dude gets saved. And what was he doing when he got saved? He was persecuting Christians. You read the account in Acts, and he was ripping families apart. You don't think he had some baggage? That's my point. But did he allow his baggage to hold him back from what he was called to do? Did we ever stop to think that he'd have to go back and minister to some of those same families that maybe he did some damage to? Okay? We need to go for it. Don't let our past hold us back from serving the Lord now. Don't get in a time warp. You know, these are some heavy-duty verses we've been looking at in chapter 7. And there's some of the things that, you know what, we carry around, and maybe some wounds we carry around from decisions that are made within the confines of relationships. And the word that the Lord would have today is, go for it now. Serve me now. Don't spend all your time looking in the past. Oswald Chambers said this, our calling is not primarily to be holy men and women, but to be proclaimers of the gospel of God. The one thing that is all important is that the gospel of God should be realized as an abiding reality. Reality is not in human goodness, nor holiness, nor heaven, nor hell, but redemption. And the need to perceive this is the most vital need for the Christian worker today. As workers, we need to get used to the revelation that redemption is the only reality. Okay, let's look at verse 17 now. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. The principle of verse 17 is you can live for God where you are right now, so go for it. 1 Corinthians 7:17, but God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so are ordained in all the churches. No matter what your station in life is, single, married, divorced, widowed, remarried, or whatever, the Lord can work through your life. And instead of thinking you can or will walk with the Lord when things change, walk with the Lord now, where you're at right now. Guys, these words, singled, and understand this. When I was single, all right, and in the confines of church life, especially in like a country church, they had like a Sunday school class for pears and spares, okay? And that's just East Texas. All right, that's East Texas. Spares and pears, you get that, you know? Okay, or when I was single, they had a singles ministry. And some of those folks, I don't like being singled and singled out, okay? And I can understand that because they felt like that word defined them on some level. But I want us to understand that these words do not define us single or married or divorced, widowed or remarried. Those are not the things that defines us. Christ defines us and who we are. 1 John 3, 1-3, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Our station in life is not the definition of our life. If we're in Christ, that is the definition. And we need to remember that. We can't spend all of our time looking in the past. Some things will never, ever be completely reconciled, and we have to understand that. We have to move forward. We have to live as we're called. If we're a little bummed out, if you're a little bummed out, okay, it's been a rough week, I would encourage you to read all of 1 John. and soak in it. And I guarantee you at the end of the week you'll be blessed if you'd be in a place of just receiving what the Lord would speak through those words. Here's a picture from Scripture about just moving on with the Lord. You guys are all familiar with the guy on the mat in John chapter 5, right? The dude had been there straight up 38 years. And he's sitting by this pool at Bethesda, right? And they assume that an angel stirred the water and there was all these sick people. And then they'd rush down there and they'd try to get healed. Okay, I'm not going to go into full-blown study of that, but I do want to just use it maybe as just a brief illustration. Jesus one day was walking through there, right? And he singled out this one guy. He's been there for 38 years. And what did he say to that guy? Get up. Pick your mat up. Walk. That's what he did. See, you realize at one time or another in our unsaved state, that's where we were. And at some point in time, the Lord Jesus Christ, He either spoke through us through a sermon or maybe through a song or maybe it was just through a person, and we got saved. And when we get saved, it doesn't stop there. The Lord says, get up and walk. Life's not so much about opportunities. Life is about serving the Lord right now. The lame man was delivered not by a man to help him, but the Son of Man who saved him. One more thought from verse 17 from the word, so let him walk. Beware of the danger of thinking folks have it better than you because of their different station in life. Be on fire for the Lord right now, walking with Him right now. And you know what I found? All those questions we may have about our station in life, if we would just focus on walking with the Lord, He'll clear up all those questions that we have with the situations that we're looking in the rearview mirror. He'll clear those things up. I can't clear those things up, but the Lord Jesus Christ can, because He knows exactly where you were and what you were doing and how you felt and everything that was encompassed in the decision that may have been made. I don't know that. And you don't know that about me either, do you? But the Lord does. Okay? Walk in Him. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they agreed? I love Chuck Smith's approach to... He was approached to go talk to a guy that decided to leave his wife. I love this story. And he goes to this guy and he's in this really crummy apartment. He's in this crummy situation. And he goes in there and he just breaks down and he's broken by what he sees. Didn't give this guy a 4-point lecture. Didn't try to talk him into doing what he needed to do. He was broken by what he sees. And I think we need to understand this as well. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He also gets broken. That's the Lord moving on a man. And we should be broken as well when we see certain things within our society and certain things within the body of Christ. We are to be broken, not ticked. It should drive us. You know, I've heard people say, well, you can't bury your head in the sand. You're exactly right. We can't bury our hand in the sand, but we can bury our face to the mat and call on the Lord. Man, we're brothers and sisters. We're to help each other along in this thing. There's a lot that can slip between a cup and a lip, right? A lot can happen. We're running a race. I like the fact that the Lord sees the beginning. You know, if you're saved right now, He sees the end result. We need to encourage each other. I don't think it's by accident. Verse 17 follows everything we covered last week. But as God distributed each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk and so ordained in all the churches. Examples of walking with the Lord in the right now. Uncircumcision and circumcised. Look at verse 18 and 19. Was any one of you called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Uncircumcision. We're not going into all that. I think everybody has an idea of what was entailed in all that, okay? Are just examples. Paul could have usually said to being married or single, be who you are when you were called a Jew, circumcised, or be a believing Jew if you were called, or be a believing Gentile if you were called while you were uncircumcised. Be a believing Gentile. Paul's main point is, what matters is keeping the commands of God and honoring the Lord. Does that not make life very simple? And that solves all these questions we may have about past. Is if we're focused on what the Lord would want us to do right now, He will speak to us and He will tell us what we need to do. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light, and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Rest and trust in the Lord. Focus on Him. It makes life so much easier." Paul says, you know what? If you're a Jew, don't try to be uncircumcised. Don't go there. Live where you're at right now and serve. If you were a Gentile and you were called, don't worry about that. You know what they're doing, probably? Well, so-and-so's more spiritual because he's got this story, and this person's beloved because he's got this thing. Paul says, just focus on doing what God has told you to do. That's it. And that's all we need to do. We have a prayer service on the first Wednesday of the month, and I always enjoy it. And someone prayed this prayer, and it just stuck with me. And they were saying, you know, Lord, we don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to hear it. And it's true. See, there comes a choice where we have to decide if we're going to humble ourselves under what God says. Not what man says, and Paul's going to get to that in a minute. It's what the Lord says. Trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. When we're delighting in the Lord, guess what our heart's desire is? The Lord. Think about that. Look at verse 20 through 22. Being a slave or being free. He's using it as another example of living where we're called. Or were you called while a slave? Or wait. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Don't think of it in terms of this as being a slave. Okay, this is, think if you were a slave. You don't have a whole lot of options there. What would a slave might think? Well, I'm saved now. Now what? What can I do? I'm a slave. How can I serve the Lord in this state? I'm tied down. That's what a slave might think. Or maybe a slave who is in that state might think this. Well, you know what? I can't accept the freedom because it would be more spiritual for me to be a slave. Paul says, don't look at it that way. Paul says, don't you get it? For he who called you while a slave is the Lord's free man. Stop looking at circumstances. Stop looking there. Stop focusing on yourself. Start focusing on the Lord. Is that not the key to freedom? Focusing on the Lord. Not focusing on self. And think about this, when we're focused on self, is that not self-imposed prison in some sense? Have you ever painted yourself in a corner? Because you're so focused on this and so focused on that. What does it say? What did Paul say to the church at Philippi? Let your gentleness be known to all men by everything, through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will do what? Focus on the Lord. If we're in Christ today, understand this. We are free. You know, this whole country's upset because we may lose our freedom. Okay, I understand that. I get that. I'm not overly joyed about thinking about that myself, especially that I have two kids. Okay? But this is something the Lord's impressed upon my heart, and I want to pass it on to you. If we are in Christ, we are free. And that's the truth. You don't think God's going to take care of His kids? You don't think God's going to take care of the body of Christ? He'll take care of the body of Christ. He'll take care of the church in this country. Okay? When revival takes place within the body of Christ, you will see things start happening on the outside, because people will be fired up for the Lord, not fired up for whatever little soapbox they may be on. We are free. We are free. Now, granted, we need to use some wise discernment in what we need to do with our freedom right now, do we not, and what the Lord has given us. I think the best thing we can do is pray for those who the Lord has put in leadership, that they would get saved, not that they would maybe have our point of view, but they would get saved and they would know the Lord. And then Paul says this, listen to what he says. Likewise, he who called you while free is Christ's slave. If you got saved, well, when you were free, you need to remember you're the Lord's. And your freedom should be used for the Lord, not spent on yourself. You're Christ's slave. Christians should be more focused on being a bondservant to Christ than being free men or free women. And think about that. If you're free and you're saved, your circumstance is totally different if you were saved while you're a slave. You've got some certain freedoms, some certain things that you can do. Paul says, I want you to understand something. You need to remember that you're Christ. You need to remember to be a bondservant. Romans 1:1, Paul said, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. You remember Paul's three I am statements in Romans chapter 1? They defined his life of being a bondservant, choosing to be a slave to Christ. He said, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Paul said, I've got a debt to pay. That's how he lived his life. Oh man, if we could just get a hold of that. We're an indebted people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a debt to pay. That He would work in us and pour His heart out upon us. Paul says, I'm a debtor to Greeks and barbarians, both to the unwise and unwise. I don't put anybody in a box. He says, I'm ready to be used and to be used up. And you think about it, you read through the book of Acts, man, the dude was used up. I mean, think about it. You read in 2 Corinthians, he talks about his ministry. I was shipwrecked. I was this. 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 And I'm trying to start a church in East Texas. I've got it so rough. I've got, you know, two little kids. I'm trying to get to church and this and that. And one's pooping his pants. Oh, I've got it so tough. You know, some guys, they won't ride to church with their family that are pastors because they don't want to be, well, irritated. I find to put myself in the forefront of the battle and get real irritated before I get here. No, I'm kidding. But you get my point. Oh, it's so hard. And I guarantee you I don't have it hard as some guy in India, some guy in China. Paul was a free man, but see, he chose to be Christ's slave. That's the point. He went for it. He went for it. Man, you look at his conversion in Acts chapter 9. Is that not like freaky? The dude all of a sudden turned his back on everything. He's like, that's what happens when you meet the Lord Jesus. That's it. He's like, okay, this is it. I'm blind, I can't do anything. Go into the city and I'll tell you what you must do. Okay, I have no other option here, you know. Man, if I could just pray we would get one thing from this one section of Scripture, is to go for it now and stop living in the past. It hinders us. It hinders us so much. And then that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord. You look through Scriptures. How did Jesus deal with people? How do you deal with people? He was always... Hey, Matthew. I know you've been rooking people over for a long time. But come on. Let's go. Zacchaeus. I know no one else in this town wants to hang out with you. You're broke off. Come on, I want to hang out with you. That's East Texas talk. But you get the point. He hung out with him. How many chances did he give Judas? Now let's go for it. You know, we talk, well, the Lord's coming, you know, the Lord could be coming back. Yeah, well, then we need to go for it. There's people that need to know the Lord. There's people that need to know the Lord. Finally, the final statements of living for the Lord in the now. Look at this first statement. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Remember, the price that was paid, and the price that was paid was not paid by a man. So therefore, do not become slaves of men. There is a choice we have to make. Either we will be God pleasers or we will be men pleasers. 1 Corinthians, as we went through there, chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, for it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, am I of Cephas, or I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know, there's a lot of isms in the body of Christ. That's one thing I like about Calvary Chapel. They don't make it about isms. This is what God's Word says. We're going to try to do it. The price that was paid so we could be free to serve the Lord in the right now, if you think about it, is mind-blowing. It's heart-blowing. I've already shared these words before from 1 John. I want to share them again. And I pray you would grab hold of these things and grab hold of the love that the Father has for each person in this room. How much He loves. And the love of God was manifested, okay? In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. The Lord paid it all so we could have it all. And you know what the all we have is? Jesus is it. That's it. He is our all. He is our all. He is our all. We were bought at this incredibly great price. You know what? Low self-esteem is a bummer. I think it's from the pit of hell. Because when you think about it, low self-esteem means, well, I don't have much value. Baloney. Had enough value that the Lord, the Creator of the universe, chose to get up on a cross. Baloney. Isn't that what the enemy does? To lie, rob, steal, kill. Keep you kind of in this thing. Paul says, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Serve the Lord. Go for it. Live like a redeemed person. Because that's what you are. You're not a station in life. You're not some adjective that may describe your station in life. You're a redeemed person. Live it. Go for it. Second statement, verse 24. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Remember, we started out this whole thing. The Lord's pointing us. The backdrop of this chapter is just the word trust in the Lord. This verse boiled down is about trusting in the Lord in the right now, even though the right now may be difficult. Wait for the Lord to change things. Trust the Lord will change things in His time. And you know what I have learned about things changing? Things change when my heart changes. That's when things change. My circumstances might not overly change, but man, when my heart changes, I look at them radically different. And I start to understand that, you know what, the Lord's doing the work here. I need to rest. I need to humble myself. And I need to trust. And you know what? I found stepping outside of things just incurs more problems. That's all it does. Did it work for Jonah? Didn't work. What did the Lord tell Paul? Paul, why are you kicking against the goats? It's not working. Paul said this about his own life and what he learned. And I understand he's talking about finances to some extent, but he did use the word whatever state I'm in. Okay? Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Trust the Lord. For a Christian, when a Christian is put in some circumstances that are incredibly trying and difficult, the best thing for a Christian to do is to pray. Not run, not try to worm out, is just pray and soak in the presence of the Lord and allow the Christ to strengthen us. Is He not our present help? Is He not our present help? Did He help not this week? Did He not help this week? So just one thought this morning. Okay, just one thought. Let's don't waste life with the I wish. I wish, I wish, I wish. Because you know what? We'll just wish our life away. The Lord's words through Paul is, go for it now. Serve the Lord now. Don't focus on the now. Focus on Christ. Focus on how much the Lord loves you right now. That'll change the atmosphere of everything. First Corinthians 7:17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so are ordained in all the churches. Let's stop talking. Let's start walking. If we're in Christ today, remember this. Remember, if you do not know the Lord today, okay, you just know of Jesus. You don't really know Jesus. I want you to know something. Christ loves you so much. Man, you need to get saved, okay? Say. As a Christian, our hearts are to be broken for the lost. Really, because everybody's got an end destination. There's one or two options. For the Christian, it's with the Lord. For those who are not saved, well, the other option. When we focus on how much the Lord loves us right now, it changes the way we view those who society has just pushed aside as, you know what, they're just worthless, they're nothing. Push them over there, they're never going to be anything. That's not how the Lord works. He comes and lives inside of people, and He changes them from the inside out. Is that not what He done for us if we're saved today? It's okay. You want one of those to take home? He said yes. Dad said no. Dad said no. 1 John 4:9-10. This is what we're going to close on today. And I pray as we worship the Lord, okay, that we'd stop looking in the rearview mirror, and we'd worship the Lord. And we'd focus on how much He loves us, how much He has for us, and how much He wants to do in us, and how much He wants to do through us. That our life is not wasted. That our life is not defined by a station. It is defined by being a believer in Christ. 1 John 4:9-10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Guys, I'm going to be in the back. If anyone needs prayer, I'm back there and I'd love to pray with you. Needs prayer, I'm back there and I'd love to pray with you. Needs prayer, I'm back there and I'd love to pray with you. Needs prayer, I'm back there and I'd love to pray with you. Needs prayer, I'm back there. And